Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And verse 11. Psalm 25 and verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And our subject this morning is a great pardon for great sins. Well, we come this morning to this 25th Psalm, the Psalm of David, one of many psalms penned by David, of course, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, King David, the son of Jesse. And this psalm, just very briefly, is, it's essentially a psalm concerning guidance. It's a prayer for guidance, a prayer to be shown the way. And we see this very clearly in a number of the verses in this psalm. Verse 4, for example, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Guidance, David is asking for. And verses 9 and 10, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. It's all about following the Lord, about taking that way, following those paths. And we all need to follow the Lord. We are a lost human race. We are all lost as lost sheep, not knowing the meaning of life, lacking direction. We all have plans and aspirations for ourselves. But how do we know that these plans that we have for ourselves are the best plans for us? We don't. We don't know this at all. We're guessing. We're estimating, speculating, but we don't know at all what the future holds for us. We don't really know what we're doing. And so this is why David says, Lord, you must guide me. Your plan, your way is far greater than anything I could design for myself. And this is a tremendous lesson for us to learn. If we live life for ourselves, that's not the best life for you. Far from it. That's the worst life for you. But if you live your life for the Lord and follow his way, that's the best life for you. So that's why David prays this. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Not my ways, thy ways. Teach me thy paths. And this ought to be the reason why all of us are here, to follow the ways of the Lord, to follow his paths, his plans. And of course, every Lord's Day morning, we speak about that great plan that God presents to us, the first plan that God presents to us, and that is the plan of salvation, the way of salvation. This is our focus every Lord's Day morning in this church, and this will be our focus this morning. But it is verse 11 that we want to focus on in the time that we have together. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Well, now the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. We're all sinners by nature, by natural birth. We are not born right with God. That is a misconception that many make. That's not the teaching of the Bible. We are not born right with God. We are born as sinners. And by nature, we don't want to follow in the Lord's ways. I've just been speaking about walking in the ways of the Lord. But I'm sure there are people here, they don't want to walk in the way of the Lord. They want to follow their own way. They don't want to obey God. They want to do what they want to do. And that's the way we all are by nature. That's the way the natural man is. We are rebel sinners against God. And one of the words that the Bible uses to describe that state, that sinful, rebellious state, is the word that we find here in verse 11, iniquity, mine iniquity. Now, iniquity is specifically speaking about a certain attitude, a sinful attitude, a sinful mindset about how we plan sin, how we continue in sin. We have no thought of changing our ways, no thought of correcting ourselves, no thought of repentance at all. Your thoughts are only for yourself and your own desires and passions. That's iniquity. That's what iniquity means. And well, sadly, that describes many people nowadays. People, well, maybe they hear the gospel. They hear God calling out to them through the gospel call. They hear about Christ dying for lost sinners, but they really don't care. Their mindset wants to continue in sin. Yes, I heard the message, but I'm just going to continue living life how I've always lived it, living in sin. I have no intention of repenting. Of course not. It's me first, they say to themselves. They push God out of their thoughts. God is not in their thoughts. And they think only of themselves. And well, that only leads to increasing sin. In fact, the Bible, when it talks about iniquity, it quite often talks about a cup of iniquity. The cup of iniquity. It's like our lives are a cup. And this cup is being filled with what? With iniquity. Not with anything good, not with mercy or grace or goodness. The longer we live without God, the more this cup is being filled with iniquity. That's how the Bible describes it, until the cup is full. And well, this is what that word iniquity essentially means. And David says, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. David says that his iniquity is great. Well, how is this? That doesn't seem right. How is David's iniquity great? Isn't he a man of God? Isn't he a believer? Isn't he what we would call a Christian, somebody who walks with God? Well, yes, he is. But you see, these words, they actually tell us that he is a true believer. This is the proof that he is a true believer. And I say this so many times, the sign that somebody has true spiritual life is the conviction of sin. That's when you know that you're starting to draw nearer to God. That's when you know that you are a true believer, not just a nominal. You're a true believer. You're truly walking with God. How? Because I know I'm a sinner. And David is saying this. Pardon mine iniquity. Yes, he's a man of God, but this is the proof. He knows that he is a sinner, and this is the first sign of spiritual life. Before you came to the Lord, you were not so aware of your sin. Oh, yes, sometimes you would be troubled in your conscience over something you did. You would feel bad, but you couldn't really see your sin. You didn't really think you were a sinner. That was the case with me. When I was, before I was saved, I knew that I wasn't perfect, but I didn't think I was a sinner. I was a good person, somebody good at heart, you know, like everybody thinks. Yes, I'm not perfect, but really, I'm good. But then suddenly when the Lord started to work in me, then I saw things that I couldn't see before. Sins that I hadn't seen before, I could see them. Sins that were out of control. Sins that I couldn't blame anybody else for. I had no excuse. I could see it. That was the first sign of spiritual life. That was when I began to walk with the Lord. Not going to church or feeling religious or feeling spiritual. The conviction of sin. That's the first sign. The beginning of our walk with the Lord. That is so very important. And David is demonstrating this. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And well, we have to look at that word great. He says his iniquity, his sin, is great. You know, there's no such thing as a small sin. There isn't such a thing as a small sin. Yes, it's true that some sins are more serious than others. That's true. There are different families of sins, but there's no such thing as a small sin. We learn that, well, right at the very start of the Bible, you learn that there is no such thing as a small sin. You think of Adam and Eve. What was their sin? You might not think that's very bad. Adam and Eve, what did they do? They just took a piece of fruit from a tree and ate it. You might not think, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that a small sin? Well, yes, we may think of it in that way, but look at what happened. Just when they took that fruit, the whole world changed. The perfect world that God had created, it changed. It was cursed. And death came into the world. And all the things associated with death, sickness, grief, sorrow, all of those things came in just because of that small sin. Doesn't that teach us? There isn't such a thing as a small sin. There is no such thing. Even a small sin in your estimation has great consequences. And this is what we must understand. David understands this. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Do we understand this? The greatness of sin, the enormity of sin. This world thinks so lightly of sin. But dear friends, we as Christians, we as seekers, must see how dreadful it is. Well, actually, sometimes you can't see the consequences of sin. Sometimes, if you say something hurtful to somebody or something unkind to somebody, well, outwardly, you might not see anything. But inwardly, they are very hurt. Your words have cut them. Your words have caused them to hate you. Sometimes you don't see the consequences of your sin, but it's actually very great. You think it's just a small thing, but you've hurt that person a lot. You don't realize the consequences of your sin. Do you realize? Well, let's just bring it right down to everyday things. When you watch TV and you watch things, well, yes, there's violence, yes, there's swearing. You don't think too much of it. Oh, well, this is just a small sin. I know Christians shouldn't really be watching this, but is it really that bad? You don't really see the damage that's doing to your spiritual life. This world, these movies, these music videos, the music that you listen to, it's turning you against God. It's changing you from being a spiritual person into a worldly person. But you can't really see that. It's having a great consequence upon you. Dear friends, we must understand. Do you see the damage that sin is doing to yourself, to your soul? The scriptures teach us that sin's war against the soul. Sin wars against your own soul. Sin is never good for your soul. Following your own lusts and passions is never good for your soul. I know people, and the longer they have lived without God, you can see them changing. Their character is being twisted. In fact, many people have used that word twistedness to describe iniquity because it twists your character. It twists your soul and you become an angry person, a bitter person. And everybody else can see it, but they can't. They can't see the great effect that sin is having upon them. Dear friends, there's no such thing as a small sin. It is great. And one last thing that I have to point out about the greatness of sin is that God is greatly offended by your sin. God is greatly offended by your sin. We don't really see that, but this is what the Bible teaches us. God, who has given you everything, we speak about this so often, your life, your health, your strength, everything we've enjoyed, even in the past week. I was saying this to our Bible class youngsters. We had such a blessed time away. God has given us all of these things. But are you just going to ignore him? You're going to walk away from him and continue to sin? Do you not know how greatly offended God is? He gives us everything. And we just continue to sin against him. And of course, you think about God's holiness. God's holiness. You know, of all the attributes of God, the holiness of God is the one that is most neglected nowadays. Nowadays, we like to think just about the love of God and the grace and the mercy of God. And those are good things, of course. But do you know that God is holy? And that is repeated constantly in the scriptures. The holiness of God is so often stressed. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We read in Isaiah 6 and verse 3. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2, Hannah's prayer, there is none holy as the Lord. And so many countless other scriptures, the holiness of God. In the Ten Commandments, we see his holiness. And well, we all know about the Ten Commandments. If you break just one of the Ten Commandments, you've broken all of them. If you break just one, if you tell one lie, the whole of the law lies shattered at your feet. You see, this is how holy God is. He requires absolute perfection. That's how holy he is. If you sin just once, it's one time too many. The holiness of God. And David understands this. This is why he says, pardon mine iniquity, because it is great. For it is great, dear friends. You must do something about this. If you are unrepentant, if you don't know the Lord, you have to do something about this. God is a holy God. He is offended. You know, sometimes, well, let's just think about the secrets that we all have. Every single one of us has secrets. And sometimes you think to yourself, what if those people around me knew all my secrets? What if my brother knew about my secrets? What if my sister knew about my secrets? Or my mum, my dad, or my husband, my wife? Imagine how angry they would be. Imagine how indignant they would be, how furious. But you know, God is holier than them. God is angrier than them at your sin. And God knows all your secrets. He already knows them. They're in his sight every single day. Dear friends, you have to do something about your sin if you haven't done so already. But dear friends, well, what a tremendous truth we read in these words here, because David knows that there is something that can be done about his sin. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. There is pardon with the Lord. There is a glorious psalm, Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. And the psalmist says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. If the Lord would mark iniquity, we all have to stand before God one day. We're all guilty of sin. Who can stand before the living God, the psalmist says? Who can do it? But there is forgiveness. That's the only way we can stand before God. There is pardon for our sin. Why is there a pardon? Well, it's because of Christ, because of what he has done, because he came into the world. He's the reason why there is a pardon. The second person of the Trinity took upon himself a body, fully God, fully man, and he came so that we may be pardoned all our sins. He comes, he goes to the cross, he says to God the Father, Father, punish me. Punish me instead of them. Punish me instead of all those who will trust in me. I will die in their place. Pour out all your anger upon me. I will bear it away. so that they may be forgiven, so that they may be pardoned. That's the only way we can be saved, through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And doesn't that, by the way, show us how great our sin is? Doesn't that show us the enormity of sin? What is the only way that our sin can be done away with? It requires the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God, no less, there is none higher. God himself to come down and take upon himself the punishment for our sin. Nobody else can do it. There is no other way. Doesn't that show you how enormous our sin is? How serious our sin is? If Christ himself has to come and suffer and die for 6 hours on a cross, dear friends, our iniquity is great, but Christ has secured a great pardon for us. Let's just spend these closing moments thinking about the greatness of the pardon. We've spoken about our great sin, but this is a great pardon. It covers all our sins, every single sin. Your open sins, your secret sins can all forgiven be. Past, present, future, there is no condemnation when we stand before God in Christ. That's how great the pardon is. Absolute forgiveness. It's a great pardon because it shows to us the great love of God. Out of love, God the Father sent God the Son. Out of love, God the Son suffered and died on the cross because he loved us. The sinless Son of God, he knew no sin, and he takes upon himself our sins. What love! He didn't have to do that. He doesn't have to save anybody at all, but he did because of his great love. This pardon shows us how great this love is, how divine this love is. And dear friends, we must turn to the Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We read in the letter to the Hebrews. There is a judgment coming, dear friends. In a way, we know it. We can sense it all around us. We have to stand before God one day. How are you going to fare on that day? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, dear friends, these things are so tremendous. Let me just close looking at that first part very briefly, because I missed it out. Verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. This is how we come to God. So many people ask, how do I come to the Lord? Well, you just fall before God, you cry out to him, you plead the mercy of the Lord, Lord, save me. Not for my sake. Some people make this mistake. They say to God, Lord, forgive me because, you know, I'm a good person. Yes, I've done bad things in the past, but, you know, I'm a good person, really, for my sake. For the sake of my work, save me, pardon me. No, you don't come like that. For thy name's sake, I am nothing. That's how you come. I am a vile sinner. Don't pardon me for my sake, because there's nothing good in me, but for thy name's sake. So that you may show yourself to be merciful and gracious and loving and kind, so that I may praise you for the rest of my life. So that I may serve you for the rest of my life, for thy name's sake. Come and save me and pardon me and forgive me all my sin. Not because of me, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Charles Wesley said it much better than I can in one of his hymns. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. I am false. I'm full of sin. This is how I come to God. But thou art full of truth and grace. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. Dear friends, come to Christ. This is the only pardon you need. No matter how great you have sinned, no matter how few people are prepared to forgive you, God will always pardon you when you come to him and you plead in the manner that David does here. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. May the Lord help us and bless us each one. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee for thy glorious word. Thy word that shows us so clearly the way of salvation. We are truly without excuse. Lord, open our eyes, O Lord, to our own sin. Give us that first sign, that first working of spiritual life, that we may come to thee and utter those words that David prayed. Forgive me, O Lord, pardon me, for my iniquity is so great. O dear Lord, we thank thee that thou art the God who is willing and able to forgive because of Christ and because of all that he has done. Bless us each one now and come in mighty power, even as we conclude in praise and worship. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.